بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم وقال الله تعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وتلك الأيام نداولها بين الناس وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في حديث القدسي إذا تبارك وتعالى قال يا عبادي إنك ما دعوتني ورجوتني غفرت لك على ما كان أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. My respected friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always looks for an excuse to forgive a person. This has been true from the days of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks for an excuse to give a person a chance. Even though when the son of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, who finally ended up killing his brother, was in the wrong, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the medium of that sacrifice that both of them had to offer, was actually extending a chance to him that you have got an opportunity to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala your judge. In a matter that is contentious, you are already wrong from the onset by going against the will of your father, but here's a chance for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Fir'aun a chance before he ended up at the bottom of the sea. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam show him a minimum of 9 signs, which are common in the Quran, which are common in the Torah, which is common in the Injil, and which is found in practically every single scripture that discusses this point. Those were the minimum signs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't speak of maximum signs like Musa alayhi salatu wasalam himself, a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fact that a child is saved in the middle of a delta, the river now flows towards the sea, that's where they pick him up, where the river comes to an end in the Nile River Delta. That was a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't even speak about, yet it was amongst the initial signs that were sent to Fir'aun, that how could this ever be possible in the year that we are killing the children, that this child is saved. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's system with humanity. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam summarizes that entire approach that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to mankind by educating us and telling us in a hadith al-Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ibadi, O my servants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the most honored of titles, that Abdullah, the servant of Allah, that title of Abdiya or Ubudiya was given not just to the servants of Allah, but to the best of mankind, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the Quran? Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi. That glory be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who took who? Abdihi. His servant. Who was the singular servant referred to in the beginning of Surah Isra? In that episode, it was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The very same title that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reserves for his prophets, the servant of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing us, the ummah. Ya ibadi, O my dear servants, innaka, that you, ma da'awtani wa rajawtani, so long as you call me, so long as you beseech me, wa rajawtani, and very importantly, when you do so, you have hope in me. It's not that you're a hopeless character that I'm calling merely because everybody else is raising their hands, that I'm merely part of a system here of dua and I have to be, you know, coupled with the system, therefore I raise my hands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cautions us that you call me, you beseech me, wa rajawtani, but you have got full hope in me. You have got full hope that I will grant you whatever you are requesting, that I will forgive your sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will respond to you ala ma kan, no matter what is your circumstance, no matter what is your position. Whether you kill that 99 people, as Rasulullah refers to elsewhere, of that individual who killed 99 people and finally when he's got a turn in life, when he now wanted to seek some counsel, he goes and seeks counsel, unfortunately for all, by the wrong person. And when the wrong person gives him that wrong advice, that there is no more hope for you left in the mercy of Allah, that individual giving the incorrect advice becomes 100. And finally, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Hatta dhahaba," until he goes, "ila rajulin alimin," to a person who knows. Who knows what? Who knows how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works? Who knows the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He lands up with the correct counsel. When he goes to the right person, he tells him a very important stitch of advice. You want the mercy of Allah? You want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you? You want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to look fruitfully, or rather, you want to attract the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then do this, change your company. Before you do anything, he advises him what? Go and stay somewhere else. Because the same crowd that you are running with all these days, all these months, all these years of your life, you can beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how much you want to. But you are now a victim of the circumstances where you grew up, where you live. Do yourself a favor and change that, and then see some automatic reduction in the inclinations of violence that you have got, the correct advice afforded to him, and merely on the step that the man took. He didn't, there is no record of him raising his hands, merely on the step in the correct direction, and maut coming to him whilst he was headed in the correct direction, the maghfirah and the forgiveness of the individual was made because of the intent of that individual. In one hadith, Rasulullah ﷺ educates and counsels us that you know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards. Rasulullah ﷺ says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards in such a way that there will be no boss, no government that is prepared to reward in this way. He tells us that when a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in hamma bi hasanatin, when he thinks of a good deed, does not do that good deed, but he sincerely thinks of that good deed, kataballahu lahu hasanatan kamila, immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes down a good deed for that person. I mean, come think of it. That every one of us have had people working for us, or currently have got people working for us. Will any boss have the guts to say, you know what, forget about working for me. Just think about working for me and I'll already cut you a salary. Just on the basis of your thoughts, I'll already start paying you. Just on the basis of your inclination of wanting to come and work for me, of wanting to come and serve my company or my household in any way, I'm already prepared to cut you a salary. There isn't a human being, no matter how generous that human being considers himself, that operates in that way, because that is not the system of man. The system of man is that you render me a day's service, I will now, you know, facilitate that day, I will supervise that day, and based on the performance that is given to me over a period of time, I will now judge what is your worth, what is your worth in mankind. So this is how the human being operates. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on the mere base in hamma bi hasanatin, the fact that he thought of doing something good, I will already cut a salary for that person, wala ubali, and I will not even think, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the king of the unlimited treasures. In one hadith reported by the famous tabi'i, Abu Sa'id al-Idris al-Khawlani rahmatullah alayhi, that he narrates from multiple sahaba radiyallahu anhum, and he narrates this hadith in the precincts of Masjid al-Aqsa, and the end of this hadith goes that, ya ibadi, O my servants, لو أن إنسكم وجنكم, if your insan and your jinnat, وأولكم وآخركم, and the first of man, Adam عليه الصلاة والسلام, وآخركم, and the last person to be born, قاموا في سعيد واحد, have got to stand on one plane in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ويسأل كل إنسان مسألته, and every human being and every jinnat and every being and every living thing has got to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala their needs. مَا يَنْقُسُ ذَٰلِكَ مَا فِي عِنْدِ اللَّهِ, that will not decrease from the unlimited treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كَمَا يَنْقُسُ الْمِخْيَةُ, like how a needle will not decrease, إِذَا أُدْخِلَ الْبَحَرِ, if it is entered inside the ocean, not even that much will be decreased from the unlimited treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the servant, gives the abd. But there is one thing greater than hope, and that is rahmah, that is mercy. You see, hope, the Arabic word for hope is raja, to be hopeful. But where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes a force that is actually stronger than hope, it is rahmah, it is mercy. Because when hope or person gives you hope, it is not an ultimate, it is not an end result, it is not a conclusive decision. But where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am merciful to you, that is a conclusive decision. And look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We did not send you except not as a hope, إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, but a mercy unto mankind. A force that is stronger than any hope. That any person may look at their leader, I've got hope in this leader. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, leave alone hope, you have got a conclusive result that in above hope, he is rahmah, he is the end of hope, the ultimatum of hope, and he is the end of all results, he is the mercy unto mankind. And the job of being the mercy unto mankind was to consider the end result of man. That yes, be considerate about their welfare, be considerate about their needs, but ultimately be considerate about their hidayat and their guidance. At the deathbed of his uncle, when Rasulullah SAW came to the deathbed of Abu Talib, and remember Abu Talib, no ordinary individual in the life of Rasulullah SAW, raised him from the age of about 8 years old till 50 plus, remain his guardian. The same Abu Talib, when the Quraysh came with an ultimatum to him, that hand over your nephew, we want to execute him, stop him, you better take responsibility for him. It was that same Abu Talib that received the reply of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَوْ أَنَّهُمْ وَضَوَ الشَّمْسَ فِي يَمِينِي وَالْقَمَرَ فِي يَسَارِي. That if they have to put the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left hand, مَا تَرَكْتُ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ, I will not leave this matter. He doesn't merely describe it as the deen, he doesn't describe it as a work, but he describes it as a complete matter. مَا تَرَكْتُ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ, I will never leave this matter, أَنَا عَلَيْهِ, that I have been given the responsibility thereof. At the time of the passing of his uncle, where people are now considerate that the patient must not be disturbed, the patient must not be harmed, he must be comfortable, which are legitimate considerations by the way. What was the concern of Rasulullah ﷺ? That he stands there at the edge of the room, because the Quraysh who showed up there before do not give him place by the head side of his uncle as he's passing away. As he comes there and he stands at the beginning of the room, or the beginning point of the room, he tells his uncle that kalimatan wahida, that if you have to recite this one kalima, that I will be an interceder for you, I will do this for you, I will do that for you. And he has to hear his uncle say, ala millati abai, upon the ways of my forefathers, upon the ways of Abdul Muttalib and Hashim and the people who came before, upon the ways of my forefathers. The concern of Rasulullah ﷺ right till the very end, the comfort of the patient is there. What about the hidayat and the guidance of that patient? And where he speaks about this matter once again, where does Rasulullah ﷺ speak about this matter once again? You know, Hakim in his Mustadrak has taken a beautiful incident of on one occasion where Rasulullah ﷺ returns from a ghazwa, from an expedition. And it was the habit of Rasulullah ﷺ consistently when he would return from his journeys, that after coming to the masjid, and this is an important sunnah, when you return from a journey, unfortunately this has come out of us, but where does a man begin? When you come from a journey, you begin with the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be it an umrah, be it a business trip, anywhere out of your house, out of your precincts and your area, you first return to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, salah time or no salah time. You afford 2 rakats of salah in your local masjid, and then you head home. That is the sunnah of safar. That is the sunnah of a journey, which Rasulullah ﷺ never ever left out. Something for us to be considered about, regardless of the extent and the nature of that journey. When Rasulullah ﷺ would finish off with the masjid, and he would go home, before going to his own home or the home of his wives, he would go to the house of Fatima to Zahra radiallahu anha. And this was especially true after the passing away of Khadija radiallahu anha, that he became very close to his daughter. And he would even mention that Fatima speaks like Khadija. She looks like Khadija. She walks a little bit like her. He would mention this was his youngest daughter, that he had this sentimental value for her company, and this only grew and grew after the passing away of Khadija radiallahu anha. On one occasion, the historians normally put it after the time of Tabuk, which was a very difficult journey for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum in general. When he comes back and he comes to the house of Fatima to Zahra, the narrators say yuthanna alayha, that he greets her in a jovial way, but she looks at him and she bursts out crying. She kisses his eyes, and she touches his hair, and she touches his clothes, and she says that, ya Rasulullah, very important. She doesn't address him as, oh my father, oh Muhammad, we don't do this. We address Rasulullah in the titles that Allah Ta'ala gave him, no matter what is your relationship with him. She says, ya Rasulullah, for after all, as Imam Busayri rahmatullah alayhi says in his Qasidatul Burda, ya Rasulullah, ya Habiballah, ya Imam al-Mursaleen. These are the fitting titles bestowed upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she says, qad shahiba, you know, lawnuk, that your color has become drained. وَخْلَوْلَقَتْ ثِيَابُكْ, and your clothes are tattered and torn. Stay at home, let other people do the work. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells Fatima to Zahra radiallahu an, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى قَدْ بَعْثَ أَبَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَمْرٍ. Allah has sent your father with a very important responsibility. Same word Amr that he used for his uncle is the very same word that he uses now towards the end of his stay in this world. He doesn't consider it a job or a mission. It is an all-inclusive matter that has consumed his life. And he tells his daughter that, oh my daughter, la tabki, don't cry upon the condition you see your father here today. La yabqa ala dhahri ard, they will not remain on the surface of the earth. Baytu madarin wala wabarin wala shar, a house made of unbaked bricks, a house made of hair, a house in the city, a house in the village. Illa adkhalahu Allah, except Allah will enter the matter, the deen of your father inside that house, out of honor, or whether they are belittled, but the matter of your father will enter, and this will occur before Qiyamah. And who will make that matter enter? It is the Sahaba radiallahu anhum who Allah Ta'ala will use, and it is the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the work of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Striving in the path of Allah, spending time, spending your energy, assisting those that go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taking responsibility for the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Ameen. My respected friends, just upon a quick conclusion over here, we know that Easter in particular is a very busy month for different people, for different reasons and different ideologies. We are, alhamdulillah, in a part of the world that a lot of that busyness is here. If a person is going to the marketplace, remember Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam educates us and tells us, read your fat kalima. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah will save a person from a lot of fitna that is out there. Remember, Rasulullah ﷺ mentions, أَحَبُّ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَسَاجِدُهَا, the most beloved of places to Allah are where? The masjid. So if a person is going anywhere, do not make it an excuse not to come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the Hisnul Haseen, the fortifying fort of a believer, where a believer remains protected. If a lady, alhamdulillah, listening at home, goes out to those marketplaces, remember the dress code of a Muslim, of a Muslimah. Remember etiquette, remember adab. Remember you're only there for your necessity, and after the conclusion of your necessity, come back home. Remember to have ta'aleem at home, whether it is a weekday or a weekend or a public holiday. These represent the forts and the sources of protection that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, in our part of the world afforded us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the ijtima taking place in Roshni in Johannesburg a success. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all the brothers attending. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though it be for a single day. May Allah ta'ala accept their time, their energy. And when our turn comes, may Allah ta'ala accept us as well. Ameen.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.